BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, I've been sorting out the cafe kitchen today, which seems to be a never-ending campaign against virtual crumbs from our virtual cakes and crumpets. But it's worth it for the chance to spend time with our unique guests. You see, this cafe is a hub for people who have committed their lives to helping others. And that can be something as seemingly small as fixing their hair. And I'll tell you why that can make such a profound difference with our next guests, Lena and Joe Milazzo from Hairy Born. Hello, Lena. Hello, Joe.
Hello. Hi.
Come into the cafe. Put your feet up, sit down, let me get you tea or coffee. What can I get you?
Espresso.
Yeah, no problem.
You too.
Listen, you are two very busy people, so I know that you are used to a fast pace of life and juggling many things. But please ignore the state of me. It's just been one of those days. Why is it that having our hair done just makes us feel a bit better? What is it about that simple act?
It's just a feel-good factor. You know, when our hair looks good, we feel good.
We find that in the salon when people are coming in, it's a real treat. You can see it in their face, you can feel it. But yeah, definitely having your hair done does give you good vibes and generally you go out feeling happier and more positive.
And this is really where the idea of your amazing project started. But if we're honest, it started with you, Lena, didn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
So in 2014, I had breast cancer, and obviously the big shock of it included chemotherapy treatment, which the first thing that comes to mind is losing your hair. And that was the first thing anybody said to me, even my children, oh, mummy, are you going to lose your hair? So that in itself is another addition to the stress of having to cope with your diagnosis as well. It's part of who you are. It's how you're recognised by others as well. So, you know, it is. It's your identity. That was something, obviously, I had to face. And being married to a hairdresser, I just thought, great, Joe will be able to help me. But we had to explore because we couldn't find much support and advice out there at the time. It's almost 10 years ago now. And Joe did a lot of research in, you know, helping me deal with the hair loss and my new hair as it grew back, because that again is another aspect, because it tends to grow back differently. So it's a different colour, different texture. So just when you feel, you know, you've finished your treatment, you want to get back to normal, you want to feel and look like you again, it's still a really long process because it takes time. You know, you're still not recognising yourself in the mirror.
And what was that experience like for you, the hair loss?
Devastating and traumatic, because, you know, you're waking up to hair on you, on the pillow, and you have to brush it away and hide it. That's how I felt. So you kind of feel a bit embarrassed as well. And as, you know, it progresses and more hair you lose your eyebrows, your eyelashes, you then, you know, what we don't want to feel or look like is sick, but that's how you look, you know, and you feel that you're a cancer victim.
So, Joe, you will have seen all kinds of heads of hair come through your salon. You were used to dealing with different styles, different textures, but then Lena came to you with a completely new challenge and you didn't really have a clue how to handle it.
Yeah, I hadn't experienced it in the salon, and actually that opened up a lot of questions. Over 30 years experience, there was a real lack of information for hair loss from cancer chemotherapy. But it was really just me learning from Lena as it was then growing back. But all sorts of things that you go through, from, you know, what do I do about cutting it short? What do I do about while I go through treatment? When it falls out, at what stage do I shave it off? How short do I shave it off?
I'm fascinated. What did you then learn about hair during this process, which is such a valuable asset to us as individuals?
I learned in the first year with Lena. Lena was my guinea pig. Mm-hmm. But I learned so much that the hair really is temporary as it comes back. There's this thing called chemo curls. I'm learning every day, every week. You know, I'm looking after 2 to 3 people a week that I donate my time to. And it is a learning curve, and you're learning every day.
Well, I want to find out about how this then expanded to other people. But first, back to you, Lena, as the guinea pig. Just take us through your hair recovery journey then, and what So did your hair and how you managed it, what you learned?
Yeah, so when it grows back, it doesn't grow back evenly all over. So you get long wispy bits and then short bits on top. So I looked a bit like a hedgehog. So it's just trimming those ends and making the hair look a bit nicer and even.
So at some stage then you decided that Joe had done all this research. He'd really helped you. You couldn't keep him to yourself.
That's
you had
right.
to put him out there for other people to use and get advice from. So how did that work? What was the first person? Who was the first person to come through your door then and say, can you help me out here?
I really thought of a plan at that stage very early on that if we had a phone line already, some way that people can contact us with somebody at the other end that had been through it, that would be a massive help for a start. And secondly, the process of a program, how many haircuts would it take, trims, to get hair back to its normal state, to some form of normal state, at least a style that somebody could feel comfortable with. And we worked out that it would be about three, about 10 weeks apart. And that was at the very early stages. I was only testing that already with Lena, just bit by bit. I then phoned around. I spent days phoning around to try and get a way of getting people to me. And we were very lucky because we had St. George's Hospital nearby. And we contacted them, or I did, and I got a phone call back from the Macmillan Centre in St. George's. And I said, well, look, this is basically what I'm going to do. And she thought it was a fantastic idea. She was head of the Macmillan Centre in Tooting. And she began to send people over to me. We put a little leaflet up in the halls there in Tooting Hospital in St. George's. And we started receiving people, you know, into the salon.
It got to a point where it got quite busy and we thought, you know, we can't just be doing this on our own. We need to get other salons involved. We need to get other hairdressers. You know, they need to know what's going on. And we thought if other salons could help, then, you know, we're not taking on all the patients and we're able to help more people, you know, in other communities. We were having people that would hear about us and then travel an hour to get to the salon. And we thought, well, we can only look after our community. We can't look after everybody because, you know, it's just not visible. So we just thought we're going to have to work out a program, but it's got to be
workable
salons. For salons, because otherwise why would salons want to get involved? You know, it has to be easy enough that other salons can actually adopt within the salon, and they'll also be able to provide the service as well.
So you have this specific four-step program. Do you want to talk us through that, Lena?
Yeah. So the first one is reassure, which is the first point of contact. And that's when people contact me or Vicky, who volunteers for us, who's also an ex-hairdresser that's been through cancer treatment like myself. So we understand, you know, what people are going through, and we just give advice and support. And then during, if they have any questions, people can contact us during. And then at the end, once they finish the treatment and their hair begins to grow back, they will then contact us again. Or sometimes people only contact us at that point because it depends when they hear about us. And that's when I then direct them to one of our appointed salons, helping, you know, people back into a salon environment, get their confidence back and have a nice hairstyle to be able to manage.
I found that many people coming to see me were finishing off this last appointment. It's because they're spaced out every 10 to 20 weeks apart. By that last appointment, the hair's about 3-4 inches long, maybe a bit longer than that sometimes. And they feel like, I mean, they've had a bit of colour by that point, you know, some people, but they feel like they've got a new style. And the amazing thing was that most of them were getting up, and when I was asking them how they felt, a few of them at the very beginning kept saying this word reborn.
Yeah, which is what I said as well.
You said this
feel
as well.
Reborn.
Yeah, it was amazing how many people said those words. that last appointment, yeah, quite emotional appointment. You've got to know the person, the guest, quite well. We encourage them to do go back to their own salons as well. We are merely there to help them through this time. But it is quite emotional. People drop wigs at that point. They feel like they can go back to work, see their families, see their children, go to school playgrounds. These are all things that I've heard and experienced from people saying it.
Tell me when you've been perhaps surprised at your own reaction to someone else's response to your service.
Oh, gosh.
It's quite emotional, isn't it?
Yeah.
As well, for us.
Yeah. I think because, as hairdressers, we're so compassionate anyway. And all we ever do is we're looking after people to make them feel amazing. And actually, if I look after somebody through Hair Reborn and I do that final appointment, we get really emotional. Most of the salons that take part will all say the same thing, that final appointment is, the one that makes you feel incredible and that you've done something amazing for someone else. So there's hugs and all sorts that people really feel appreciated.
But you've been through that journey with them, so you've seen that person develop from perhaps the first time they've come in where didn't want to even look in the mirror.
It strikes me, you're giving all this time for free. You're running your own business. Other salons are getting on board, but we know how tough it is out there for small businesses at the moment. I just wonder how sustainable it is in the long term. Time is precious. What do you think? Do you see challenges lying ahead to be able to continue this kind of service?
The challenge really is how do we get more salons on board? And we've already taken the first steps of getting our name out there more to try and get more salons on board.
There'll be people right around the UK saying, I'd love to be able to access this kind of service.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we've now got 33 salons around the country, actually, up to Manchester as well, that provide this programme. But all we want is just, a couple of appointments a month. That's all you need to dedicate. But what you're giving back is just so huge to somebody. I think for giving back, for me, I have found this really rewarding. So having been through something negative, something positive has come out of it. And it's been really rewarding.
Well, look, Jo and Lena, thank you so much for stopping by at the cafe. I hope you feel refueled and reboosted.
Definitely.
I know we do from listening to your story. And best of luck with your incredible work. And how are you feeling now, Lena? All good?
Yeah, all good. Yep. Really good.
Well, your hair looks fabulous, but
thank
of course
you.
It does. And
thank you
so much for calling by.
And thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
What a brilliant partnership they have. And I know the feedback they get from their clients is life affirming. And thank you for all your feedback as well. We had this email to cafehope@bbc.co.uk from Jeanette, who wanted to talk about our episode with Electric Umbrella. She says she used to volunteer with a similar project called Carousel in Brighton back in the 80s. And the work they did was very similar to Electric Umbrella. She says it was a fabulous project to be involved with, and the benefits to the workshop participants was an absolute joy to witness. She says it's fantastic to hear these organisations continue to function and secure the funding for such important work. And it's a reminder, she says, of the importance of the creative arts for everyone. Thank you, Jeanette. You can contact us too via email or on WhatsApp. The number is 0330 678 4727. And don't forget, you can listen back to earlier episodes on the BBC Sounds app. We'll see you soon.
Hello and welcome to You Heard It Here First.
Chris McCausland on BBC Radio 4.
This is the show that asks our guests to live in an audio-only world,
where panellists use sound clues to work out what's going on.
Guess how this dog's feeling?
Constipated.
Yes, definitely.
Step on, I do it!
That hand dryer!
Is this the same dog?
You heard it here first with me, Chris McCausland.
Why are you so familiar with that sound?
From BBC Radio 4. Listen now on BBC Sounds.